Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, or the mercy world. Today, my visitor is Deacon Hans Flapper. Deacon Hans, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Thank you very much.
Deacon Hans Flapper is originally from the Netherlands and has been living in New Zealand for many years. He is a deacon in the Catholic Diocese of Auckland, and among many other tasks, he has been a chaplain at the New Zealand maximum security prison, Parimorimo, for many years. He relinquished his role after 8.5 years in July 2016. With Lent just having started, we are called to think especially of reaching out to those who need mercy and forgiveness. Visiting the prisoners is one of the so-called corporal works of mercy. Deacon Hans, as chaplain for the prisoners, you are regularly visiting inmates in prisons. Before you talk about this special work, could you explain to us a little bit about the role as deacon? What does it involve in our diocese?
Well, firstly, thank you for asking those questions. It's very interesting. I could talk quite lengthy about this, but firstly, one has to distinguish between the transitional deacon, that is a seminarian on his way to ordination to the sacred order of priests, and a permanent deacon who is ordained to the sacred order of deacons. The deacon is ordained not to the priesthood, but to the ministry. A little bit more in order to explain the diaconate. It was restored by the Second Vatican Council, and it completes the continuity with ancient tradition and the specific decision of the Council of Trent, so a long time ago. The permanent diaconate has flourished in these last decades in many parts of the Church, with promising results, especially for the urgent missionary work of new evangelization. The total number of permanent deacons is around 45,000 worldwide. That is approximately 9% of the total number of clergy. And this number of deacons is still growing. Cardinal Walter Kasper, he wrote, "The church is a servant church, and diaconia is the essential dimension. Strengthened by the sacramental grace, permanent deacons are dedicated in the service of the liturgy, the mystical service of the word, the intellectual service, and of charity, the institutional service." He refers to deacons and presbyters as the right and left hand of the bishop. So it is the bishop whom the deacon serves, and like the bishop, his diaconia is to build up the community of faith, often in collaboration with a parish priest. Together, the clergy and laity share the mission of Christ, in which they are co-responsible. The functions assigned to the deacon in no way diminish the role of the lay people, cooperating with the hierarchy. On the contrary, the deacon's task is to promote and sustain the apostolic activities of the laity, fostering closeness between the ordained ministry and lay activities. So, an analogy would be deacons provide a bridge between the laity and the hierarchy of the church, as they share in the life experiences of the laity. Most deacons are married, have children, and a working life, and understand the problems and challenges which every family will face in the day-to-day life.
And can deacons be compared to katekita in Northland or other parts of the Pacific?
Katekita or catechists in those vast areas where there was no resident priest were quite common in the olden days, but they're not the same, or they're quite similar, but they prepare the people in Te Reo Māori for the celebration of Holy Mass in the early days, when the Mass was still in Latin too, and the sacraments. They taught the catechism, the prayers and hymns. They were especially commissioned lay people working with the priests in that region long before the permanent diaconate was reinstated. A permanent deacon is ordained by the bishop and is part of the clergy.
You're a permanent deacon.
That's right.
So the permanent deacon is, as you say, it's a ministry. It's not a transition to priesthood.
That's correct.
And are there different tasks? Can the two deacons, the permanent and the temporary deacon, perform the same ministries during the time of being deacon?
As a deacon, we can perform the sacrament of baptism. We can be the celebrant and witness the marriages. As long as it's not with the Eucharist, we can do the burial services and funerals and things like that. So, in short, what we can do is give absolution at the sacrament of reconciliation or consecrate like the priest does during the Mass. That are the two things that we definitely can do. But all the other things we are able to help out in case it is needed.
Is it a long training?
The training is 6-7 years. I was fortunate to do my theology studies at Good Shepherd College, so I mixed with the seminarians. So my training started in those days when there was still no permanent deacon.
And is the permanent deacon a full-time job?
Permanent deacon is like a priest. It's like being married. Is it part-time or is it full-time or 24-7? So it's the same as a deacon. Once ordained, you remain until you die. So one of the things I think is important to know that a deacon is probably the only one who receives the seven sacraments.
the sacrament of marriage in addition to the ordination.
As the sacrament of holy orders.
Yes. And for those of you who are listening to Muffin Talk with Beate, this program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Deacon Hans Flapper. Deacon Hans has been a prison chaplain for many years and he has just explained what the role of a deacon is. Deacon Hans, what is the role of a prison chaplain?
The chaplain in a prison is to act as in Kaitiaki, trustee or guardian of the gospel principles and values, and as a panongan, a servant and promoter of holistic and spiritual growth. He works in the institution to which he or she is important. My role was the rehabilitation of a person from God's point of view. It is God's ministry, not mine. Reconciling the person to the friendship of God, helping them to realize that they too are a beloved child of God, created in his image and are able to grow in his likeness. So building up their self-esteem and mana and helping them to discover and acknowledge their true self, to support them in a very awkward situation they find themselves in a prison.
So the prison chaplain can be a deacon, it can be somebody else also? Do you have to be a religious in order to take the role of prison chaplain?
I think the Good Shepherd sisters in New Zealand started to go to the prison and help those people. And then priests were involved later on. We have five or six deacons who are prison chaplains, but all the other people are lay people, so non-ordained ministers. And that is possible. The requirements are... you don't have to be a religious person, but you have to have a strong faith and a genuine love for people, a mind open to the Holy Spirit, and also accepting the fact that it is a privilege being able to work in that type of environment with the grace of God. My ordination as deacon, which came after my appointment as chaplain, gave me even more grace, more determination and strength to be that instrument of peace and that channel of God's love, to be the companion of those searching for the true self. So Catholic chaplains are in each of the 18 prisons in New Zealand, and they accompany over 10,000 imprisoned people. They often work with ministers of other denominations, sharing the demand for listening with an empathetic ear, counseling when prisoners share their sorrow, their hurts, their struggles and pain, and their broken dreams. Important also is to comfort them in times of grief, when a family member dies or something happened within the family, and to help them to rekindle and develop their spirituality and faith.
And you said that you were first a prison chaplain before you were a deacon. Mm-hmm. Why did you choose to become a prison chaplain?
I didn't choose to become a prison chaplain, and I never could envision myself in that role. But after my theology studies at Good Shepherd College and finishing my work as parish assistant, I was looking for another challenge, and the position of prison chaplain in Parimarim and Maxi was offered. So Brother Colin Devane, who worked in the other division of Paramaribo, introduced me to the place and the work involved. I accepted the challenge because a prison is a great treasure box. That's what I found out. And in that box are gold, silver and precious jewels. The box in which these treasures is contained is not really very appealing. Concrete steel, surrounded by razor wire, sensors and fences. But inside, you know, there are the people, the men and the women, precious to God. And there is a spiritual hunger that no form of therapy will ever satisfy. Mother Teresa said, well, they are hungry not for bread, but for love. They are naked, not for clothing, but naked of human dignity. They are homeless, not for want of a room of bricks, but homeless because of rejection. So that's what I found in that prison, and that's why that I stayed that long.
Represents quite a few corporal works of mercy to clothe the naked. And mm-hmm. And now when you put it in this context, in the figurative way, as a prison chaplain, you were doing many works of mercy. And when you say it's gold and silver, do you mean that it has to be polished?
It has to be polished, but first it is tested. So they have to go inside themselves and discover their specialness. And once they have that determination and that awareness, they can change. Because every change in a person has to come from within. And there's nobody, no institution, no therapy, no psycho work that can change a person. 40% has to come from the inside. And as a chaplain, you're just part of a team of people that can change, that help them to change. You can be that instrument of change. And then the rest is just other things, programs.
Do you still remember the very first time that you went to a prison? As a visitor, of course.
No, I never visited as a normal visit, but I can't remember the first time I was in prison. It was that Brother Colin introduced me. Because especially in the first weeks, everything is new. The environment is new, the staff, you know, the custodial, the medical, the managers, and then the prisoners, young, old, all kind of ethnicities, too many Maori, too many Pacific Islanders. That's what I could remember. There's the clanging of doors and the cages in which those people are kept, in 3 by 2.5 meter cages with steel bars in front of them, the shouting, the swearing, and so many other things in a complete unknown world, the world of the last, the least, and the lost. But what I do remember very well was my first experience. It was after having watched on TV the program Beyond Darklands. This one was all about a man who committed horrific murders. It was not a documentary as such, but a dramatization to make it more sensational. But it was based on a true event. So the next morning, I had a phone call in my office in Paramaribo from an officer asking me to come as soon as possible to a certain landing in the prison. and talk to the person who happened to be the person in the story. I watched this the night before. The man I met was the one who had murdered. However, what I saw was this suffering poor soul, abused by other prisoners and staff, abused in his past, who was in such great despair. So I spoke to him and listened to him and prayed with him, because he too was a beloved child of God, created in God's image, and he found peace.
And did this person ask for your visit?
Regularly afterwards, we had good conversations, and he changed, and he's still there for a long time, but yeah, he accepted everything.
And you said this is one of your experiences. Have you seen any changes where you could say the person has gone out of jail and now he or she is a better person and has been maybe still in touch with you, or does...
Yeah, of course, I can't take credit of any of the changes that have a long-lasting effect. I mean, it depends on the person, and there's so many other good people, custodial staff, forensic staff. There's so many other people contributing, so I can't take any credit for that. What I have seen is that with the help, people find a faith. People start to read the Bible, which is the most read book in the prison. They start to pray. Sometimes they realize they can also pray for other people. I've had people who started to pray the rosary, for example. They didn't even know what it was before, but everyone in the prison wants a rosary. And they get a little leaflet with it, and they can pray it or not, whatever. But it is something that gives them comfort. Just to give you an idea of a week, a certain week, the experience I had in that week and the many demands, the many ways that you can help a person. So, for example, in a particular week, I was bringing peace to a man who couldn't have contact with his children anymore. I brought hope to the man whose partner, precious by others outside the prison, left him after 10 years. I brought love to the man who has no one on the outside, who loves him and who cares for him. Bringing healing to the man who in despair attempted to take his own life. Bringing God's mercy when there is remorse and guilt, which is hard to bear. Bringing compassion and comfort when informed of a dear uncle's death in a terrific accident. Bringing blessings when struggling with suffering and the meaning of life. Bringing God's providence and generosity by supplying material goods like art material and things like that. Bringing the joy of faith by sharing my own life experiences. Then there's a time when you bring calmness and acceptance when injustice is experienced. In the prison, in the case of losing your property when you are moving from one prison to another. You bring encouragement when a move to another block or cell is hard to accept. You bring perseverance and support when they relapse in progress of rehabilitation and change. So, a chaplain is present with a listening ear and sharing the pain and the joys of the past. He's a father figure for the young ones, especially those under and around 20. He's a teacher and a helper in breaking open God's words. He's a companion in faith when praying together.
Have you come across mainly of people with open ears and open mind towards your support?
Well, they all did, and that is something that nobody else is in that position as a chaplain. They can trust him, and you grow in that trust, and they share everything, and it helps them to prepare for a court case to answer the question, shall I go for an appeal? And when you just ask them straight out, did you do it? Yes, I did. You tell them, why open the wounds of your family and the victim's family again? And then they have peace with it. And I'm happy that they made a decision. They did the crime, they do the time.
In a statement of the New Zealand Catholic Bishops' Conference from 2009, which was issued on revenge and reconciliation, the bishop said, all of us, whether victims of crime, offenders, employees in the criminal justice system, family members or neighbors, are called to find paths to justice systems, system which reconciles, which rejects attitudes of revenge, which helps victims to heal and offenders to turn their lives around. It is the only true path to the security and safety that our society longs for. This is a very challenging call. What do you recommend to someone who asks how to carry out this call?
Now, Jesus said, so is without sin, let him throw the first stone. So my suggestion is to read the gospel and try to become a person like Jesus Christ. Pray. Do good to others. Don't judge others. Forgive others. We are all created in God's image and are all challenged to grow in his likeness. Many people don't need pity. They need love. They don't need compassion. They need companionship. And Saint Teresa, Mother Teresa, wrote it so beautifully when she said, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish and ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. But be honest and sincere anyway. What you spent years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. But be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway.
It's a beautiful word. Reminds me of Catherine McCauley, the foundress of the Mercy Sisters, who said, be good today and better tomorrow. Because you always have to give it a try. And as you said, with this person that you met, where the report on his actions was so different to the person you met afterwards. And I think that's also a call not to be judgmental. You don't know what the media had changed in order to make it more attractive. Thank you very much for these words for Lent. I think as Lent is starting, we can now see people in prisons in a different way, which is one part of the many ways we can reach out. And at the same time, if we always have a listening ear, we might be able to prevent some crimes, which is even better because as you said, many have struggled in their lives before, so maybe we can all give our share to support them so that they don't have to go into prison.
It is not so much breaking their chains as breaking our own chains of prejudice and preconceived ideas and ignorance.
So we have to keep upskilling ourselves.
That's true.
And listening to the word of God.
That's correct.
Thank you very much, Deacon Hans.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
I wish you all the best. You're not doing, you're not a prison chaplain anymore?
No.
And you encourage others to become prison chaplains?
Well, if they feel so inclined, yes, yeah. It would be good to that many more people listen to the call of God for mercy, forgiveness, and love.
How many prison chaplains do you have per prison, more or less? You said you have a Catholic chaplain and some other religions, maybe also, or don't
know. There are Presbyterian, there are some Anglican, some Baptist, some Brethren. So out of the, I think it is approximately 45-50. Half of them are from different denominations, and the other half are the Catholic prison chaplains.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks to you, and thanks to all the prison chaplains out there who are doing an amazing job. Thank
Pleasure.
You.
God bless.
And to our listeners about what is coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center. Last week, our three-part series on Hildegard of Bingen started. The first part was focused on Hildegard's spiritual life. Tomorrow, Saturday, the 4th of March, we will be learning about Hildegard's talents in music. Dr. Almut Seebeck and Felicitas Weyer will introduce us to the healing power of singing. Next week, on the 8th of March, Anissa Janta will share her knowledge on healing philosophies and herbal allies, also about Hildegard of Bingen. Then on Thursday, the 9th of March at 7 p.m., Leticia Putenpadat will facilitate an evening with a thought-provoking movie. For this session, she has chosen the movie Babette's Feast. Join us for a reflective experience and watch the movie that is said to be the Pope's favorite movie. In fact, the movie Babette's Feast was even mentioned in the encyclical Amoris Laetitia, a movie that fits in our Lent season and challenges us to look inside of ourselves in service to mercy, which fits to what we have just heard of looking inside and bringing change from inside. On Tuesday, the 14th of March, from 10 o'clock to noon, we will start with our Lenten series facilitated by Father Stuart Ziller. The series is called Pondering St. John's Gospel and consists of four parts. Please note that our Writers' Weekend workshop with Joan Rosier Jones has been postponed to Friday the 7th of April to Sunday the 9th of April. And for all events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or via our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. I wish you all a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. And a good Lent season. Thank you very much, Deacon Hans, for coming.